Last week, the Commonwealth Bank hit the headlines after the bank reported $1 billion in home loans were obtained fraudulently through AI-generated documents. According to the Australian Financial Review, this fraud was discovered last year. There are growing concerns about verification systems and how this affects mum and dads and small businesses. The Wise Thomas Kudus asked Scientia Professor Toby Walsh how this situation changes the way we trust our banks.
It shows that, unfortunately, artificial intelligence is making it that much more of a difficult problem. It's believed that AI was used to help facilitate this mortgage fraud. It's very easy to create fake documents. A year ago, people were playing with the idea that you could ask ChatGPT to make you a fake-looking passport, and they did a very good job.
I believe it was Commonwealth Bank who employed AI bots to notify its customers that there's some unusual activity going on or unusual verifications going on their accounts, which goes to show that traditional verification processes are struggling to keep up. Why is this the case?
AI is both the problem and partly the cure, which is that banks and other financial organisations are increasingly using AI to help them actually spot the good from the bad. So yeah, it's both making the problem worse and helping to deal with the problem.
Why are large-scale frauds like this able to go undetected for so long inside major institutions?
Unfortunately, the tools are becoming ever more realistic. It used to be there were some obvious tells. You could look at the count the fingers on the hands, or look at the eyeballs, or so on. There were some things that the tools didn't do very well, but increasingly they're really photorealistic, and it's almost impossible to tell them apart from the real thing. And then the tools are very democratized. I mean, you don't need any skill or sophistication. You don't even need any money. Most of the tools are free, so they're available to the bad guys.
And so what structural or regulatory changes do you think are necessary to prevent this kind of large-scale fraud in the future?
Well, I think the banks are obviously going to have to up their game to deal with the size of this fraud. I think this is potentially the largest fraud that's ever been detected in Australian financial history. So this is a really significant event. They're going to have to increase the quality and sophistication of what they're doing. That might mean asking to see more documents in person. You know, your passport, it's easy to make a fake copy of your passport, but it's very difficult to get a fake passport itself because it's got all these other security devices, holograms and other things on it that are actually physically difficult to reproduce. So I suspect they're going to ask to see more things in person. And also, I mean, a lot of this fraud is through mortgage agents and the like. I think the banks are going to be doing a lot more checks on their mortgage agents.
Professor Toby Walsh, Scientia Professor of Artificial Intelligence at the University of New South Wales, speaking to me there. Luke Irwin is the Director of Aegis Cybersecurity in Brisbane. He says how risky these situations can be to mums and dads and small businesses. I asked Luke Irwin about the risks to parents.
For the mums and dads out there, the risk for them is if their data has been compromised, again, by Optus, Latitude, Medibank or Qantas, their name's in that data set. If someone goes and takes out a $1 million mortgage in your name, that's in your name. You now have to prove that it wasn't you that's taken out that mortgage. Your credit score is now going to get damaged by this person doing that. So you need to have additional protections and checks in place on your credit score to make sure that you can't be taken advantage of in that way. Because this data's out there, it's going to be attacked time and time again.
Businesses would be caught in the brunt of these problems.
Yes, they are.
How much risk would they be in?
These AI tools that have come along have lowered the skill level to be able to participate in this class of crime. If we go back 10, 15 years ago, the ability for someone to create a document like that was a moderate to high level of skill to forge a document to a level that would pass human detection. Now, that barrier has been lowered substantially, and when you combine that with the availability of this online data set of individuals' information, made it incredibly easy for someone to impersonate or scam an organization as a vendor or attack by way of the supply chain via what's known as an invoice fraud attack, where they'll say they'll compromise somebody's email system and then send invoices out going, hey, we've changed our payment details, please make payment to here. Organizations need to have checks and balances in place around those types of systems in order to be able to protect their revenue, protect their customers and their own client data.
So what do you think we should do to slow this down, and how should we make organizations be held responsible by not taking care of their customers' data?
That's a curly question, that one. So for organizations to be held accountable, we look at, say, the ruling against FIG recently by ASIC. That was a $2.5 million penalty for 4 to 5 years of inaction on IT and cyber on what looks to be roughly a $30 million company turning over $30 million a year. I feel that penalty was wholly inadequate. It should have been at least triple or quadruple that price, so $7.5 to $10 million in penalties. What they got away with was essentially gambling with their clients' data and money by not investing in technology, by not investing in cybersecurity to protect that information, and essentially got the bank the difference as profit.
Luke Irwin, Director of Aegis Cybersecurity in Brisbane, ending this report.